Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your host, Logan Lewis.
What is going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to episode 69 of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. I am your host, Logan Lewis, and today you're tuning in for what is the March Madness Classic finale. We had a couple updates here the last couple episodes, and this is kind of the wrap-up for the whole thing. So we're going to be announcing the winners, announcing the prizing, some changes for next year and stuff like that. So after this episode, we'll be returning back to the regular program with interviews and stuff like that. So you can look forward to that. We've got a pretty cool one coming up, probably maybe even a three-parter that's coming down the pipe here for our newest episodes after that. So definitely stay tuned for that. Before we get into the episode here, just wanted to make a quick announcement. Me and Brandon had a chat there about a week ago, and he's going to be stepping away from the podcast. When it comes down to it, the guy's just too good at his job, too good at selling houses. And with that comes a really, really busy guy. And so with being busy, there's obviously a lot more important things in the podcast too, and want to make sure that he's able to spend time doing those important things as well. So he's stepped away for now from the podcast, and it'll just be yours truly doing things here from here on out. So just wanted to mention that in case some people were kind of wondering and everything like that. If you're listening to this, Brandon, obviously myself, just wanted to give you a big thank you. It's been a lot of fun starting this with you over 3 years ago now. It was a pretty cool journey that we've been on here with this podcast, and definitely learned a lot, got to talk to a lot of awesome people, and it's just been a really fun time, and made a really, really good friend out of it as well. So thank you for that. So as we kick into this episode here, wanted to give a huge, huge shout out to the sponsors. Obviously a presenting sponsor, 13 Fishing. Them, Rapala, and Strike Master came in huge with providing prize packages for the youth. We'll get into those a little bit later here in the episode, but wanted to give them a huge shout out. You can use our code Weekend Warriors on the website for any of those brands that they have there. You can save yourself 15% at checkout. Basically, you save the tax, which can be quite nice nowadays with all the tax and everything like that. So go over, check them out. We're kind of in almost a transition time here. This episode will be coming out with, I think, a week left in Saskatchewan's regular season. So check them out. Go pick up some stuff for the remainder of this season or getting into next season. Next up, big shout out to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation as well. We had tons of Master Angler fish caught in this event, so be sure to be entering those fish. The pictures actually will have saved to your photo album that you took to enter the fish in the event, and so you could use that to submit your fish and get your Master Angler certificate as well. So huge thanks to them for being a supporter of the pod for as long as they have. So in this episode, my plan is to kind of announce the winners and everything like that. But before we do that, I know that's probably the part everyone's waiting for. I just wanted to make mention of the prizing again so that people can kind of remember that for when I put on the tournament again next year. The youth prizing, pretty cool packages here. All the youth prizing is sponsored by, as I mentioned, Strike Master, Rapala, and 13 Fishing Canada. They have come up with the top three in each leaderboard are going to be getting a prize package. First place is a package valued at $400. Second place is a package valued at $250. And third place is a $100 package as well. So it's going to be, from what I remember last year, there were some baits, there were some combos, some hats and stuff like that. So it's a nice package for the youth. Can never have enough baits, and they'll just maybe help you catch some fish in next year's event as well. And for the adult prizing, this number I just got tonight. And so what it's looking like is our guaranteed, no matter what, was going to be $650 for first place in all three categories, $250 for second, and $100 for third. But because of the number of entries we were able to get to, those numbers have gone up. So now first place is going to be sent $820 for their catch. Second place is going to be getting $315. And third place has gone up to $125. So with all the people that we were able to get registered in the event, we're able to put more money back into those prizing. So I was really happy that we were able to get above our threshold there and just continue to grow that prize pool. And we'll hope for next year that it gets even bigger and those prizes get even larger. So I think without further ado, we better announce the winners here. If you want to see a full list of everyone that entered Fish, where they sat on the leaderboards, everything like that, you can head over to the Anglers Atlas website, head over to our event. It'll be in the events tab. And then in past events, you'll see the March Madness Classic for 2024. And right on the right side there, you'll be able to see adult division, youth division for pike, burbot, and walleye. First up, we've got the adult division northern pike category. This one saw some bigger fish than last year, that's for sure. And we had some tanks last year. So this, I was pretty excited about this. So coming in third place, we had Bill Laundrie at 112 centimeter pike. Mind you now, that is after a penalty for 5 centimeters for the mouth being open. So this fish was a tank. I think it was actually somewhere around that 46 inch mark, which that is just a monster. Never, ever going to complain about a fish like that coming up. So if I pull up the conversions here on these fish, Bill's was sitting at 44 inches after that penalty there. In second, we had Brendan Jacobs with 114.9 centimeter pike, which is 45 and a quarter inches. And then in first, we had Brooklyn Dane with 114.9 centimeter fish as well. So that 42 and a quarter inch. So you might be wondering, oh, that's a tie there. Well, if you look at the rules before the event started, there's a tiebreaker rule in place there. The first tiebreaker is who caught the fish first. The fish that was entered first is the one that takes that tie. If somehow they're entered at the same time, which would be incredible, that next rule goes to whoever entered the most fish in the event. So in this case, Brooklyn entered hers first, and so she takes home first prize there. So congrats to you three. Those are some awesome fish. No better time for them to come around and take your tip up, I guess, during the event there. So congrats to you three. Next, moving on to the youth category. We have a couple repeat people in here from last year, so that was nice to see. Obviously, they're on their pike there. In third place, we had Harper Scott with 94 centimeters, and that is coming in at 37 inches. In second place, we had Owen Bouvier with 100.3 centimeter pike, so 39 and a half inches. And then in first place, we had Xavier Doan with 105.4 centimeter pike, which is equal to 41.5 inches. So some very nice showings there from the youth category as well. There was quite a few fish entered in there for the youth and the pike category, so I was happy to see that. Next up, we had the walleye category. This one was a lot more competitive this year. We had quite a few fish. The top five fish are separated by 5 centimeters, so that was nice and close there. Two of the people on here, they just turned it up near the end of the tournament, had a good day, and that ended them in the top three here. So coming in third place, we have Ryan Turple with a 75 centimeter walleye, which is equal to 29.5 inches. In second place, we had Manny Miles. Might be familiar with him from the first 39 hours with Aaron Weeb there. He landed himself a 76 centimeter walleye, coming in at 29.92 inches. So pretty well 30 there. And then in first place, we had Gord Silzer with a 77.5 centimeter walleye, equaling 30 and a half inches. So I know the walleye bite was tough for a lot of people that I talked to during the event here. So it was nice to see that we got that many around 30 inches. Obviously, it can be kind of tougher this time of year for them around here, but pretty good showing there. Some very nice fish. I'm sitting there in 22nd place with mine. I guess I forgot to mention, had a fifth place pike. And for people who are wondering why my name was on there, if you didn't hear the one episode, I couldn't win anything, but I thought it'd be fun to compete alongside everyone else. So I logged a little walleye there on the last day just to have something there. Next up, we've got the youth category for walleye. Quite a few in here as well compared to last year. There was only one walleye entered in the youth category, so that was awesome to see. So in third place here for the youth category, we had Bo Free with a 59.1 centimeter walleye, or 23 and a quarter inches. In second place, we had Hayden Hickey with a 60.5 centimeter walleye, or 23.8 inches. And then we had Xavier Doan once again. He took first in the pike. He also took first in the walleye. sitting there with a 65.4 centimeter walleye or 25.75 inches. So congrats to you three. And then we got the final category here, the best category, if you ask me, in burbot. So tons of burbot were entered. Obviously, March coming around, it's the time of year for them, right? So in third place, we had Nathan Parody sitting there with an 85.7 centimeter burbot, which is equal to 33.75 inches, which would have been close to the winner last year. Like that's a very nice fish, a master angler right there. In second place, we had Devin Chaikowski with a 91.4 centimeter burbot, equaling 36 inches. And then in first place, we had Delaney Chaikowski, if you could tell, they're on the burbot, with a 96.5 centimeter burbot or 38 inch fish. That's just insane. Blew last year's burbot out of the water, and that was pretty cool to see. And you'll notice more of a family connection when we come over here to the youth side of the burbot. So in third place, we had Cade Napper with a 73 centimeter burbot coming in at 28.75 inches. In second place, I'm sorry if I mess up your last name, Jack, but we had Jack Caseman, sorry if I got that wrong, with a 74.9 centimeter or 29.5 inch burbot. And then coming in first was Emily Chaikowski with a 79.4 centimeter or 31.25 inch master angler burbot. So I didn't mention it off the top of the episode, but I did get Emily, Devin, and Delaney on for a quick little interview about their top placing burbots there. So we'll head over to that and then we'll get back to the rest of the episode. I've got the three Chaikowskis here with me. If anyone's looked at the leaderboard here since the tournament's ended, they got first and second in the adult burbot category. And then also Emily came in first for the youth category on burbot. So you guys kind of had a lock on the whole burbot category there for actually quite a bit of the tournament. So I guess if you guys just kind of want to introduce one another and let the listeners know who you are, and then we can kind of get into some of the story there.
Sure. I'll go with Emily first. Emily's our first child, and she's 4 years old and enjoys coming fishing whenever we are able to get her out there.
Yeah, she's been out, I think she was 25 days old the first time we took her ice fishing. Oh, so wow. She's a seasoned vet at this point.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then for you guys, I guess, how long have you guys been targeting burbot? Like, I know it's become a lot more of a popular species in the last couple of years, rightfully so, as I'm sure you guys hold the same love for them as we do, clearly. But I guess, when did you guys kind of start focusing on burbot more?
I think it was the year we got married, actually, in 2018-ish, around there.
And for everyone who has a stigma about burbot, they've obviously never went out there and caught a big one, because they're super fun to catch and target, and it's something you can do with kids or your whole family. You don't need to be out there finesse fishing walleye. It's kind of like fishing for pike, where maybe you put tip ups up and the kids can do whatever they want. If something happens, then they get to catch them too. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's the best part. You nailed it right on the head there with you don't have to be as finesse with them. Right. And they're quite forgiving in that sense when you're taking little kids out. And when the action gets going, it can be pretty fun too. Like, it's not kind of hit and miss with like the way walleye could be and stuff like that. So keeps them entertained. So I guess I can't remember correctly who caught the first one of these three winning fish.
I did. Yeah. The first, I think it was the first night, we went out, I think it was Friday night. Yeah. The day it started, and we like to call these, supper fest. So me and a buddy of mine, Bryce, that comes fishing with me, we usually put our kids to bed and then drive from Saskatoon down to the lake and then fish all night and then drive back in the morning and suffer the next day with the kids' activities and birthdays and whatnot. So we ended up catching that first one at 2 in the morning, I think it was.
2:30, yeah. Okay.
Wow. And so you weren't there? It was just Devin?
I had put the kids to bed, and that first night I didn't go out. No, I was regretting it after.
Yeah. Well, and I guess who came next? Was it Emily's next?
Gems was the next morning, yeah, because that storm was rolling in on Saturday.
Yeah, Emily upgraded a couple times throughout that. I think she had one on there for a week when she was in second, and then we went out maybe the second last of the last weekend.
Right.
And she upgraded a couple times throughout the weekend.
Well, and I know I mentioned it. I think it was on the first March Madness update where it was you texting me saying that she was telling the kids at daycare that she was going in a burbot tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knew what that was.
Yeah, nobody had there knew what bourbon fishing was. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's what kind of what we like about this year is there's a lot more youth in it. Last year there was maybe four or five, and it was nice to see more people on the leaderboards and stuff like that. Like my little cousin, he won the category. It was a 13-inch walleye last year, and it was the only walleye entered. So it was like, well, that was easy enough. But this year there was actually some competition, but Emily held that down. And that was a nice bourbon. That's a master angler bourbon too, right?
It was first master angler certificate. So that'll be going up on the wall.
Awesome. That's awesome there. And a really good picture with it too. So that was even better.
That took more convincing than anything else was trying to hold the bourbon. We had promise washing jackets and mitts and all kinds of things because they're tricky to hang on to for a little kid.
Oh yeah. And the measurement, like I'm sure you guys had a fun time making sure, especially with how big they are, you wanted to make sure you got the full measurement right. And not the easiest for that too. So you guys did a good job.
Tricky. It was just her and I out there at that time, and I needed her help to hold the tail down. So you can see her little mitt in the corner holding the tail down while I was trying to take the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she had a hand in it there. And then I guess the winner came last. I know Devin was mentioning a little bit there before we recorded that you were kind of like, oh man, I didn't make the shout out for the first week there. And then you pulled through.
Yeah. It was just like pure luck. I feel like we were going to pack up that Sunday and head back to the city because we had work and stuff. And my son, who's one, he needed to go down for a nap. And I was like, let's just, drive back over his nap. And then we decided to go out one more time. So we got Papa to babysit while he napped and went out. And it was an afternoon bite and I had gotten nothing like the entire weekend. I was so mad and frustrated with it. And it just came in and hit. And
it was a good fight. That was the
only fishing all day.
Yeah. Well, I guess if it's going to be one of them, that may as well be it, right? And I know
one I would take,
Yeah, and you guys sent me the live scope video of that, and that just looked crazy. That looked like it was like a lake trout fight, the way it was all over the water column there. And then the size of it too, like after I've seen some sturgeon on it there, you're right. That basically would have looked like a sturgeon on there. Cause it just,
It was wild when it wanted to stay at bottom. We couldn't bring it up off bottom. Like Delaney was asking me what to do. I was like, I don't know at this point. Like it basically has to tire itself out a bit. Like we were worried that we were going to snap off and we just kind of let it do its thing. And eventually it came up. We didn't have too much trouble at the hole. It kind of,
I'm surprised.
Sometimes we have a lot of trouble when they do their little alligator roll at the hole, but they came right through the hole and grabbed them. And then we kind of just sat there in disbelief and looked at each other for 5 minutes. Like, what just happened? We caught this massive burbot in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nuts. Like the fight, I don't know if I've ever had, I'll probably never get a fight like that. It was 10 minutes of just like chaos.
Yeah.
And Devin was outside the tent and I was just like yelling at him to come in because I was freaking out. And he was like, reeling up some tip up lines because he was fighting so hard that we thought we might get tangled with his lines. And then we finally got it up the hole and I couldn't believe how big it was.
No, that's did you question for a bit if it was a burbot for part of the fight? Or maybe thought it was a sturgeon or
it acted like a burbot on the live scope. So
it's super funny when they come up to the hole and then they want to run back down on live scope. When they go straight down and you can watch their tail when they're that big, you can watch their tail and it's like an S all the way down. You pretty much know what's going on. Yeah. They look like a snake going back down to the bottom.
And then when we got it up to the hole, all we saw was just like the side of it swim by. I was like, oh man,
it's never ending. No, that's awesome. And you said during the day too, right?
Yeah. It was a mid afternoon bite. I'll give you that much information.
that's all we need. No, I'm sure you guys, once people saw all three of those fish that you've entered, there's lots of texts coming your way. Like what is going on? Right. And then I know, I was texting you, Devin, because someone else said they saw you at last mount, and you're like, I can't go anywhere now.
I was a celebrity there for a while. I came off last mountain for like, I don't know, I was like 10 minutes off the ice or something like that, and I was getting texts like, oh, are you fishing for walleye now that you got the bird blocked up or what? I was like, oh my God, there's like spies all around the province now.
Yeah. Yeah, fishermen love the backgrounds and pictures, and they love knowing people's vehicles or boats. They could always tell where to go. But I guess for you guys, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with the burbot? Like, I know, did you guys enter fish in any other categories, or was it just the burbot?
No,
just the burbot. We knew that going in. Like, even last year, there was some pretty big pike caught. That'd be pretty difficult to enter something in. We knew where there were some big burbot, and then walleye is a little bit trickier with family, so we wanted to take Emily out for the majority of this year, so we figured we'd put a good stint in on the burbot, and it seemed to pay off. I did go for walleye a little bit at Last Mountain, but didn't have any luck with anything big. I saw there's some 30 inches or 30 and a half inches that came in, so
yeah, there are some good ones. I guess for people that don't know, I can't see where they are, so I don't gain anything from doing it. I just have fun doing it, but it's that's obviously with Saskatchewan, a pretty good guess of probably where they came from in the winter. And that's the tough thing with this tournament is this time of year, that walleye bite can be tough, right? So it does make it difficult. It makes each fish that much more important. And it was kind of with the youth categories, I did notice a lot more burbot and a lot more pike compared to walleye, which kind of makes sense. But then there was some people who ended up with all three there too, some of the youth as well. So it's nice to see that, because technically you could catch them all in the same area, right? If you get lucky. Yeah. So you never know.
It's a little bit tricky with kids trying to finesse walleye all day and not get a big bite. Like, if you're not going for numbers and you're targeting a big fish, and they don't really want to be out there all day and not catch anything. So burbot and pike are a good way to go.
Yeah. Well, and the burbot are the most fun anyways. They're more fun than the other two species.
It was a heck of a lot of fun just pulling up all the burbot and having some fight.
Yeah. So is that all three of your personal best burbots?
Yeah.
Well, you picked a good time to do it, because especially because the prize pool is going to be even higher. So I think the minimum payout was $650 and $250 for the adult categories. So that's going to be going up even more. And then I think Emily should have, I think it's something like $650 in product pricing from Rapala 13 and Strike Master coming her way. So once she's ready to finesse some walleye, she'll have some gear for that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then it sounds like you guys got one more that would be eventually fishing the March Madness, maybe more like the 8th or 9th March Madness.
We'll see next year if he's ready or not. He'll be 2 next year, so
okay, so I'll keep the tournament going for a couple more years so he's able to fish one. No, that's the plan, but I just wanted to get you guys on here quick, kind of talk about that. I thought it was pretty cool that you guys pulled off those spots there, so thanks for taking the time. I know we kept Emily up maybe a bit late, so thanks for taking the time to come on.
Awesome. Thanks again for putting this on.
Thank you so much.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that little snippet there with the family. Obviously, they were on some nice burbot. Pulling off the 38 is insane. I was pumped to see that being the winning burbot. I was kind of hoping for one in that like 35 kind of thing to be entered, and to have a 36 and a 38 entered in there is just insane. So really happy to see that. Just before we wrap up the rest of the episode here, just want to talk about some changes for next year that I kind of came across as I was entering fish and talking to lots of you that fish the tournament. Because as I've said, I'd like to keep this tournament going. It sounds like lots of you had a lot of fun, and the numbers in the tournament just continue to grow. So a couple things here. First off, there'll be no more closed mouth rule. I know it can make a little bit of a difference when it comes to measuring fish, but taking a couple things into account here, this isn't a huge, huge cash money tournament, right? So wanted to not focus on that as much. This is for fun, everything like that. Obviously, there's some money on the line, but if it changes a fish by half a centimeter, quarter of a centimeter with the mouth being open, I understand that. And obviously, based on the scores I just read or the measurements I just read, it can make a difference. But that's just kind of how things are, because I really wanted to take into consideration the handling of the fish and everything like that. Ethically handling the fish, you're in the winter, it's tough, especially when you're alone, to properly measure that fish. And that was kind of the biggest thing I heard from lots of people that were alone, was trying to get a proper measurement photo, getting the tail right, making sure the mouth was closed and stuff like that was kind of difficult. And in the end, we want to handle the fish the least amount as possible during that process and get it back. So just I kind of wanted to touch on that. That'll be something that I'm changing for next year. I felt bad every single time I had to add the penalty, because sometimes that mouth was barely open, but it was kind of had to be totally closed or you were getting the penalty. And that's just the way things were, because it could be something small like that that determines your placement on the leaderboard as well. So I wanted to keep things consistent there. So that'll be the first big change. Next big change is I want to get more prizing for next year, not just top three prizing, because it is difficult when, say, for a while there, the biggest pike was caught, I think, on day two of the whole tournament out of the however many days we were doing there. So like 17 days or whatever. And then it's kind of like, oh, well, why would I go for pike the rest of this tournament when it's a 46 or something like that, right? So kind of want to get more prizing in there and make it more fun. Add something like maybe some hidden length prizes for each species, stuff like that. So with that, random prizing, stuff like that, might also do something along the lines of for every fish you enter, enters you into a draw for like a door prize or something like that for the tournament as well. Just kind of brainstorming some stuff here. So there's more prizes and more opportunity for people to win stuff. Obviously, you're all out there having fun entering fish anyways, but it's nice to have potential of some reward too, even if you're outside of the top three. So with that, I'll kind of be trying to look for more sponsors. If anyone has any ideas, reach out to me. I'm all ears for that kind of stuff. I'll be working on some of that stuff throughout the year leading up to the tournament next year. But like I said, let me know any ideas you have. Shoot me a DM, answering those all the time. Let me know if there's any changes you maybe I didn't mention here that you would like to maybe see in the next tournament. And I'll take all of that constructive feedback into consideration, because I just want to keep growing this event and making it more and more fun for everyone in the years to come. But with that, I don't really have much else to add there on the tournament. I know we kind of got away from the typical episodes there, but our next episode, like I mentioned at the top, will be back to our regular scheduled stuff. And there'll actually be, in the first episode back, a new portion of the podcast. So I think people are going to like this. It's kind of a special little segment and kind of some interesting stuff in there. I think next episode should be with Dr. Chris Summers once again. If you haven't listened to our first episode with him, go and do that. But we've got an episode in the works there with him and a couple of his graduate students as well on some of their projects. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. But thank you. A huge thank you to everyone who fished the March Madness Classic this year. I consider it a total success. I was blown away by how many people fished it and how many fish were entered. We blew last year's numbers out of the water. So just wanted to give a big thank you to everyone who fished it this year and entered those fish and sent all the messages saying how much fun you had. That makes it worth it for sure. And to finish things off, wanted to give a big thank you to 13 Fishing, of course, for being the presenting sponsor, for sponsoring the event with all these awesome prizes for the youth and everything like that. So stay tuned for the next episode. Enjoy the last couple of weeks of our regular season here in Saskatchewan, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.